So just to reiterate, we are in a work of progress in this document, and I'll begin sharing my screen if someone can promote me. While we're waiting for that, what I wanted to kind of call out is the main intent of this document. It's a work in progress, but what we'd like to try to accomplish is, one, share our Ariel's and my current understanding of what this vision is. It will take time to digest that, and that's totally okay. But ultimately, what we want to have come out of today and maybe the next couple days is, you know, constructive criticism, identify the concerns that we may have, whether it's terminology, whether it's the structure that we're proposing, the features that, you know, we might propose. We really want to think creatively together, not be afraid to critique and feel a sense of ownership of this. It's not just our vision, it's all of ours. But ultimately, what we need to come out of soon is, you know, we need to formulate a shared vision of this information architecture. It's not that this can't change over time. You know, we're experimenting, we're trying to feel our way through this process. But what we are short on is time for the meeting, and we want to have something, some hypothesis of what this future site will look like in a presentable format for the meeting. You know, when we get into the meeting itself, it's easy for us to communicate that these things can change and that we welcome the feedback, and, you know, we're not afraid of that. But we do need to kind of get to a pretty solid state with what our, at least our proposed architecture is. Ariel and I think that we have at least the building blocks of what that will be now. And, you know, we'll go through that today and then give you guys time to digest that going forward. Okay. Can everyone see my screen?
Yeah, I can see your screen. Anybody can see the document too? Is everybody else in the document too?
Yes, we can see.
I can see there's lots of people in the document. Okay. So what you're looking at is our proposed information architecture for the website. We're still working through some of the details with the design team, so some of it may change, and you can see actually there's a lot of comments and conversation going back and forth so that we're feeling our way through it. What I wanted to do to start us off is just look at this table of contents and talk to you about what this vision looks like, and then we can get into a couple specific pages if you like. We could talk about the intent of them. We can kind of figure out what's a good logical next step after we're comfortable. Okay, so the current proposed architecture has a couple main, like, top-level items. We've got our homepage. That's very important to us, and it's one of the pages that we want to have a design for the meeting. We'll get into, like, the major features of it, but the intent of that homepage is actually serving two audiences. So it needs to have some harmony between that newcomer audience and that more experienced member to not only hook the newcomer, but also to show enough of the, you know, robust activity that's taking place within the site so that experienced members don't have to do guesswork in finding what stuff is being updated within the site. So there's a little harmony there that we need to kind of bring together. Second is the news and media portion of the site. And I'll kind of scroll down as we talk about that. The news and media, is a portion of the site that will kind of be the one-stop shop for all of the news and media. So it will house potentially announcements if you guys write, you know, spotlight-related articles. If there are opinion pieces, maybe that another blog might write about that we want to bring into the site, things like calendar events or meetings, all of that can be housed within a news and media section of the site. And what we envision is that this is more of an advanced, experienced member tool for them to keep abreast of what is going on that they may have missed. So it's sort of like a search portion of the site, but geared towards news and media-related items.
Sorry, just to interrupt, Steve. So besides being a search tool for experienced members, we also want this to prompt interest to new members and curious outsiders so
sure.
they have an understanding. We have a very dynamic community. Every day something new is happening. So they will we'll try to hook them through this section as well.
Sure.
Steve, this is Heidi.
Yep.
Just a question. I see down below, way down below, is the events calendar. And you had just mentioned that this news and media would actually include a calendar, which I
yeah,
think
so let me kind of call this out. So we, the exact layouts, I don't think we fully, figured out how this will work. The events calendar is one of the caveats, I suppose. We haven't quite figured out if we visualize it in two places, if we visualize the events in one place. But at the end of the day, and then announcing an event existing is news and media. Maybe events calendar gets integrated into that. We haven't quite figured that one out yet.
I would never see that. I would want to see something like news, media, and events.
News, media, and events.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that would be okay with everyone. Because I really would never guess that I could see a meeting schedule under news and media.
News, media, and events. Yeah, so we'll have to kind of play with some of these concepts and get something that works right. The next section is primarily geared towards newcomers, although it's still very valuable for experienced members for, and we'll kind of get into this, is this explore section. So the process that we want to walk people through, especially newcomers, is really to start them off with an exploratory process through what is at large, what is their core mission, what's the work that they're doing today, and then guiding them through like how to actually become involved in the processes. And Explore starts them there.
So Steve, again, just when I see our cause, I'm just used to seeing some sort of for-profit or some sort of NGO in the development field there. So maybe our mission might work better for at large.
Yeah. Thank you, Heidi.
Okay.
So how about this? So right now what we see is just a pending. It's still a work in progress. We haven't figured out the exact wording for everything yet. It's just basically a demonstration of our thought progress, and that's a very rough draft. And so we can definitely refine those wording later on. So I think Steve can tell us first about why we break those sections into this fashion, and then we can go to the wording and content of those sections.
But I do want us to be able to think through and think critically on whether even the message, that the intent of each of the sections reflects our expectations. So Explore is broken out into three kind of categories. It's this question of who we are, whether it's our mission statement. It's something that the reader can agree or disagree on. Right? They either agree that we're relevant to them and that that entices them, or they don't agree. If they do agree, the rest of this is really supplemental. Like, understanding our history is valuable, but it's supplemental to just giving them context. The organizational, what we're calling organizational diagram, we call it our structure or something like that, but we want to then hint at them that there are lots of different bodies within at large doing different things. And that should always go back to our cause. It should be just enough information to let them know that all these groups are doing different activities tied to our cause or our mission.
Our mission. Our
mm-hmm.
cause. I just think that's not – I can't.
Right. Noted. That who we are question, we want to pose in the context of why they care. It should always go back to why they care about reading this information or why they should care that our mission exists at all. So in doing that, it reinforces, you know, what their role will end up being or could be, you know, in the larger at-large community. So what comes, what like naturally follows that is, well, what are the things we're actually working on? We expect that this portion of the site would be an introduction to the types of topics that are currently relevant to at-large, or maybe it's just like a broad overview of the types of issues that we work through, potentially some case studies, but something to give them some concrete examples of the things that we're doing. And then it would follow with, okay, now that we've given you an overview of, you know, what we actually do, here are the actual bodies and the work that they're performing. So ALAC, this would potentially be a perfect location for the ALAC's little, like, profile page. And, you know, ALAC can then start curating content around that. Same thing with the RALOs. This could be a perfect location to call out, hey, here are the different regions that are being represented and the specific things that they happen to be doing. This is really good content not only for newcomers but existing members now. Same thing with structures and working groups. This specific working groups might want to broadcast, you know, the type of work they're doing, and it leads really naturally into the next question, which is, what opportunities happen to exist within these organizations, or how is it that I become involved with these groups? And so we would expect that each of these pages could call out the types of, you know, work that, the types of opportunities that exist, or, you know, like, the if you want to know more about how to get involved with this, you know, click here kind of thing. The last kind of part of that, in Ariel, it looks like we're kind of missing that, is the how we work, which would be the last part of what their exploratory process is. And that would talk about the tools involved. You know, if working groups are working on the wiki, it would be like, you know, this is the steps to get your wiki account, and then once you have your wiki account, send this email to this individual, and then you're in the working group space. Or whatever, like, the mechanics are that are involved, those would be a natural location for that type of content. In addition, the how we work could include content such as the overall processes or procedural procedures that we go through for different activities. So the policy advice or the policy development process would be a great location for this type of content. You know, we could even get into the procedural about how we go about doing voting or how we go about collecting comments and incorporating those comments back into the final draft of a statement. These things provide transparency, but it also allows it gives us avenues to call out opportunities to people. So, you know, as we're talking through the procedure of, you know, providing comments, we say, you know, right on that page, here are some of the statements that are open for comment right here. So all of these things are opportunities for us to call to action, you know, to the newcomer and, you know, experienced member if they happen to be on these pages. So that is what we at least are today considering the, you know, explore chunk of the site. It's allowing people to do research on, you know, who we are, what we do, and how we go about doing. The next kind of phase in this process that the user would go through, once they've done exploratory work, is actually discovering something of relevance to them. And so this is what we call discover. And again, the wording may not be right, or it may be right, but, you know, the concept hopefully resonates, is that once you've done all of this research and you're kind of sold that, you know, this is of interest to you, well, now the question is, what do you want to do? You know, and so that's where discover comes into play. You're finding something of relevance. And so the main elements within discover that we wanted to cover are the topics the actual active topics that people are working on within the community so that we have dedicated pages for those topics, as well as the policy advice section. The policy advice is what we previously called correspondence. Again, I don't know if this word captures exactly what it needs to do, but our understanding of what policy advice is really just a location where people can find statements based on the, you know, various filters or categories of information, and then dive into actually either providing commentary, becoming a pen holder, you know, seeing at large's position on a previously closed statement. So that's what we view this policy advice section of the site to be. It's really a search mechanism with all of our artifacts contained within it. Events calendar, we kind of discussed. Maybe it gets brought into the news and events, or news and, yeah, maybe it's called news and events. I don't know. So we'll kind of skip that for now. And then the final two things that Ariel and I discussed were metrics and experts, and these are really ancillary, but across the site, there's all kinds of data that's just naturally being updated, and a lot of stuff can be pulled out of that, such as how many open statements we had, how many ALSs have applied, how many have been voted in. You know, there's all kinds of metrics that just by the nature of updating the content within the site that we can now visualize and potentially get to a point where we're visualizing it over time. It'd be really interesting for people to see the growth over time of, you know, ALSs in different regions and stuff like that. And so this is a perfect opportunity for us to kind of provide a window into, you know, what's actually happening across the community. And then finally is the experts, which would, it really actually dovetails into another project going on at ICANN around open profiles, where we can have a platform across all of the organizations within the ICANN community for people to create profiles of themselves, and then we can visualize that data within our site as we need to. So we could identify an individual's publications or their credentials or events that they may be attending. So it's something that we wouldn't be ready for in the, you know, first couple phases of this, but something that we could start thinking about is what type of information do we even want to display to our community, and what's relevant to them for finding the people that they want to find. And then the last category is the make a difference, and this is really something that ties into the newcomer experience, which if you think about it, we've sold them on an idea. We've told them all of the interesting work we're doing. Well, now it'd be nice for them to have a consolidated location where they can find all the opportunities that are relevant to them, whether it's as an individual or within, you know, a group or, you know, as an ALS. And so this is really a place that we want to be able to broadcast the different perspectives, you know, based on the different perspectives, what type of opportunities are out there for them to actually get involved with. And it's something that I don't think we've fully fleshed out yet, but we know is very important for us, is to be able to showcase the how you get involved in the various at-large groups and opportunities. So that was the fire hydrant approach to this. Ariel, do you have any, like, initial comments to, like, add to it?
Thanks, Steve. I just want to add one comment is like why we break these sections into this fashion so you can imagine the site trying to achieve three goals, and none of these goals are in the order of a level of commitment. So the first one is explore, means it's just somebody happened to stumble upon this site and then, you know, getting to the site, look for this, and I didn't really have a concrete aim. But if we can let them, we can grab their attention and then let them explore further, then we achieve the first step. It's giving them the opportunity to see the world up at large. So that's explore. And then the second discover, we definitely can change that word to something else. The main objective for that step is for the people who gained more interest than just a accidental stumbler. And like, we want this more interested visitor to research things he or she wants to know about at large. So then this is a little bit more specific about the policy issue topics or the people, like expert within the community. So we want to create that opportunity for the interested people to gain more knowledge about at large in a more structured way, and also can help them discover in the way they want to. So that's the second step, discover or research or learn. And you can change the words later on. And on the third way, make a difference. I mean, we can also change that word into something else, like engage or join, whatever that works here. It's the final call to action is to let the newcomers and inexperienced people to be more engaged with the community and be part of it. So that's the final objective there. So that's how we break down into these three sections. That's one thing I want to add.
Thank you. So maybe we could just open the forum. We're definitely open to, you know, getting into the nitty-gritties of any of the pages you think might be interesting. But maybe we could talk more broadly just about, you know, conceptually, if we think that we share this vision or if there's things that we're concerned about or things that may be missing or not reflected properly. I think this would be a good time for us to kind of capture some of that.
Any questions or comments?
Yes, Ariel, this is Sylvia. I put a question, and I think Oliver also asked about how interactive and what part of the site would be interactive for members of the community and for people that would like to have some interactive features, dynamic.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of talk to that a little bit. If we're looking at this table of contents, there's a couple of the pages within the site that are more interactive than others. So let me at least call out the things that aren't as interactive to begin with. The homepage is meant not to be interactive. It's meant to be an aggregation of a lot of the content within the site, and it's meant to serve two purposes. One, intrigue the initial newcomer and then have them dive further into the site. So we want to hook them and intrigue them. And then two is show the robustness of the activity going on. So we would want to aggregate some of the news, maybe only the most important news, to the top of the site. We want to have some kind of key metrics within that homepage to show people some of the activities going on, such as open statements, statements that are closing, things that have been voted on, all of those like activities that are happening around the working groups. It's a perfect avenue for us to do that. Third, we want to potentially pull out some of the conversations that are taking place within the at-large community. So having some connection to your guys' social media strategy may become, relevant to a homepage. So you can see, like, the homepage in itself isn't so much an interactive tool as much as it is a tool to get people to dive into some of the more interactive elements that they're looking for. And its main purpose is for the more experienced members to remove the guesswork so that they don't have to guess if there are new open statements. We will inform them if there is relevant content so they can dive right to it. News and media, however, is something that's a little more interactive. Even though we are on the back end writing a lot of this content, what we want is a tool that allows people to discover the news and media that's relevant to them. There's lots of ways we could think about doing that, and we have to explore some of those with our design team. But just off the top of my head, some of the ideas are maybe somebody wants to change their perspective on news and media to be based on their specific region or a specific working group or a specific topic that is active in the community or an event. So all of these ways that they can change their perspective are the interactive elements that we would give them so that they can see the right news. Similarly with the calendar, you could think like if we've got 10 or 15 or 20 events in a given month, that in itself is too much data to consume if you're trying to figure out which event's relevant to you. So we want interactive elements built into those event-type tools so that they can see the events that are geared towards the perspective that they want to have. Explore is a section that I would imagine has more static content than dynamic content, and it's more of an informational kind of section. But there maybe are elements of that that become interactive. I don't know if we fully identified what those would be, but at a minimum, I think what we're looking for is to tell the story about, you know, all of the work that's happening and giving people context. So it's a little more static in nature. It still has opportunities for us to give people calls to action so that they could dive into the more interactive pages. I think the nature of it is to be a little less interactive. When we get to discover, this is really where a lot of the interactive tools come into play. For example, the topics. Now, this is an opportunity for us to broadcast the most important topics that are being worked on across the community and to give people research tools so that they can not only teach themselves about the topics, but see the related news about those topics, see when there's open events or statements on those topics, and to actually participate in the policy development process. So topics and policy advice is really where you start seeing a lot more of the interaction between the reader of the website and the content that's placed within it. Metrics and experts are more static in nature. Even if the information is dynamically updating itself, I would imagine most of it would be like infographics. Potentially some of those infographics over time could be a little more interactive. But until we get a little more mature in our process, it's really hard to identify. And then the make a difference is probably also a little more static in nature, even if the content itself is dynamically updating itself based on the information in the site. I would imagine it's less of an interactive tool and more of just a nice layout of the information that's available or the opportunities.
Just to add to Steve's the explanation about the explore area, even though the content on the site can be a little bit static, but doesn't mean we can direct people to the interactive part. And a lot of interactive part is actually the community wiki. So, for example, under the organizational structure, like the Railos, then they have their wiki page for all those Railos. So if we identify some of the very dynamic parts of those Railo wiki pages, we can create opportunities to direct visitors to the wiki so that community members will have their platform to engage in ongoing work and update their content. So just in short, the static part of the site can also serve as the gateway to the interactive part of the wiki so that we can connect both systems together in that way.
And so just to make sure I understand, when we say interactive, we're referring to the collaborative nature of the work we're doing. Is that correct?
Unless
for example, the community members input their comments. They interact. You know, they start talking through the wikis in the comment section. So we can link it getting to that cause.
Absolutely. So we're not proposing, at least in any like near term, to change any of that process, right? Whether it's effective or ineffective, we want to continue to harness the collaborative nature of the wikis so that we don't, you know, break everything all at once. If in the future we find opportunities that we want to pull out of the wiki because there's a more natural home for it on, you know, a public-facing site, then so be it. But as it is, it seems that the policy development process is working as designed, and we don't want to break it. We really just want to point people at it, you know, appropriately.
I think Olivia has his hand raised.
Oh, sorry, I can't see that.
Thanks, Ariel. It's Olivia speaking. I was going to ask a very similar question to what Sylvia has asked and worded slightly differently. Ask how much of the site is static versus it being dynamic. In other words, I see there's a number of news feeds and things like that. Are all the pages going to have some dynamic content on there? Or are we going to see some parts of the website that will be static and that might then require some webmaster intervention to update? Just finding out how much of it could be updated directly by at-large staff, for example, or how much of it is fed by RSS feed or whatever other feed you're using, mm-hmm. this sort of stuff.
So until we get into a conversation with an actual dev team and know like what they can actually provide us, it's tough to know accurately how much of the content is stuff that we would have to rely on a web admin team versus our own staff. But the goal that I'm trying to push us towards, and the web admin team is comfortable with this goal as well, is to provide us the content management tools to maintain and to create the pages we need and to maintain those pages on our own. So there is a little balance there, right? Like sometimes we want to create something that's a little bit too unique and it requires us to either work with a web admin team or even potentially a dev team to support a new request. But especially for once we're up and running with pages that have static content on it, those are perfect candidates for us to own our own, you know, publishing responsibilities, and it's something that I think that the web admin team will support us in. So when we get to a point where we're actually doing development, one of the initial requirements will be in standing up a content management platform with all the proper roles in place so that we can log in and manage our own content and publish when we want to publish. And I think that will probably remove at least one of the main bottlenecks that we've had in the past.
And Heidi and Anthony have their hand raised, too.
Yeah,
so.
Anthony, feel free. Go ahead, please. Community first.
Hi, it's Anthony. It's Anthony for the record. Okay, so when I was I know Ariel mentioned a while back that the information can be overwhelming. And when I think of it from a, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
When I think of it from an accessible perspective, I tend to think, when I hear like information like looking at graphics, the metrics particularly, I'm not sure if the metrics are accessible for people with disabilities yet, because I'm not sure how interactive some of the screen readers are when it comes to that type of multimedia presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other point I wanted to make was having a fund development background, one of the things that I look at, and I pointed it out in the chat, is look at how we can engage the audience, helping them think, helping them feel, and helping them do. Because I know in the document you talked about you like the call to action from the Michael J. Fox Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. I looked at that, and I like that. And I think if we put something right on the home page, that is a call to action, because a challenge that I've seen through a number of the forums is getting sponsorship. If we put that out in front, we give the people not only an opportunity to not only become involved in the in all the at-large stuff, but as well as an opportunity to think about initially how they can donate to that as well, whether it be time, energy, resources, even funds would be great. Mm-hmm. And so looking at case for support, that was the term I was looking for, as the introduction to people, kind of that elevator speech that can draw them in. Because mm-hmm. when it comes to the accessible part of a website, if you have that initial text in the beginning, then those that are visually impaired already have in the back of their mind, once they hear that, that, okay, I can participate this way, that way, or I can even donate.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my comment. Thanks.
Yeah, if I can respond. So to the accessibility, normally if we were going through this process the way I would manage it myself, I would have a dev team working with us in tandem, and they would be significantly more involved in the architectural side of the design work. We don't have that resource available to us at this time. So the approach that we've decided to take was to envision the solutions that we want to put in place. And then when we do get those architectural and dev resources, it will be a task for us to now reconsider what we're proposing and then come up with solutions that are actually usable. So not only just the value side, which is what we're doing today, but actually producing a solution that's also usable and obviously within the budgets that we have. So that part will come into play. It's something where I think it's okay for us to hold off on. You know, it's okay to design with that in mind, but then when we get that architectural resource in place, I think that we'll be able to do some negotiation with them, discuss what is possible, what's not possible, and then come and, you know, tweak our designs to take that into account. And I agree with the calls to action. What we want to do for this homepage, especially for the newcomer kind of perspective, whether the newcomer is a sponsor, whether it's an individual internet user, is to give them enough of a call to action without being overwhelming. What we don't want to do is have like a little widget on the page with 35 things that they can do right off the bat. It's too much. They're not even committed to us yet. So a sponsor is in itself an audience, and it's maybe something that we have to consider for, you know, the homepage. But then outside of that, I want it to be as concise and clear as possible so that we could just drive them a little further into the site. The more you drive them into the site, the more committed they will become. So that's, I think, one of the main goals. But I've noted that we should potentially be bringing in another audience that we might not have been, you know, fully capturing, which is more of a sponsorship level person.
Heidi is next in the queue.
Okay, thank you very much. Really excellent work, Steve and Ariel. Great thanks. Many thanks for that. Just some comments. I'm going to just enlarge here. So, okay, under Explorer, which, again, we're not sure if we're going to use that. I'm sort of happy with that, but I'm less happy with Discover. But under Explorer there, I would suggest that we might need something like our hot topics. And then maybe even in addition to that, our perspectives on ICANN issues or something, you know, maybe something a little bit smarter than that, but something where it's, you know, the hot topics that ALAC is currently working on, and then in general, if people want to know, well, what, you know, what are the ALAC or at-large's views on certain issues, maybe just a spot where that could be. And the beginner's guides would be a good source of that. Matt did one on ALAC policies, so there's a lot of general information in there. I mean, just literally a cut and paste might be useful for that.
Sure.
Let's see.
Maybe before we move on from this topic, let me kind of respond. So what we're currently calling what we do would be a perfect location for where we're talking about the topics that we're, you know, working across. I have a question, though. Do we consider issues and topics different, distinct definitions, or are they one and the same, or are they tied together?
So what we do would be policy and outreach and capacity building and engagement. It's not just policy.
Right.
So I think that somewhere there needs to be this distinction of, look, you know, this is what policies do, but we also, I mean, at large, is, I would say, the majority even of our members are more interested in doing outreach and engagement than doing policy work. I mean, Olivier, you might echo that because of the struggles we have with getting pen holders, but, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's my experience.
So I think it would be a valuable action item for us to come back within the next couple days with, you know, short, concise descriptions of what we mean when we say we do policy development, which I think we all have a shared vision.
So at-large does not do policy development. They do policy advice development.
Right. Okay, so policy advice development.
And I think there is, Ariel, maybe take a look at the beginner's guide on ALAC policy. I think that kind of text is already in there.
Okay.
This is Ariel. I have read through a lot of the beginner's guide paragraphs, but they're not written in a way with the audience in mind. So some of the things they write about policy advice development to be expanded or clarified for people who don't really have much knowledge about ICANN or at large. So, I don't think copy-pasting will be sufficient.
I mean, well, then the beginner's guides are not meeting their goals if you're saying that they're not reaching out to beginners, because, I mean, given the name, that's their aim, is to reach out for beginners, as well as people who are already, you know, just coming in as participants or active participants within at large.
Yeah, what I'm saying is they give a really good foundation, but we probably need to revise some of the wording or expand on it later on. But that's going to be the content development phase. We won't need to concern that too much at this point, stage. Yeah.
So maybe, Ariel, what we could do as an offline action item is take these four items and propose some form of content, even if it's not exactly right, so that we have placeholder. It'll give us a sense of the amount of content, you know, the type of messages that's in it, and then if we want to tweak it over time, that's totally fine. But I want us to at least kind of call out the major topical, you know, sections that we want to talk through.
Okay. So can you, I can't scroll up on this page. Can you go back up to the main first page, please? Thank you. So then under organization diagram, I'm not sure if you need that full name, if it just means our organization.
Exactly.
Because organizational structure, that diagram would go there, perhaps.
Yep.
Then, you know, what I saw sort of missing here, maybe it's not highlighted as I would think it might, given at-large activities, is that they also do a lot of capacity building and engagement, and I don't see that there, you know. And so that's something that might need to be brought out a bit more.
The four that I heard you say were policy, outreach, engagement, and capacity building?
Yeah. Capacity building, yeah.
Okay.
And then also some big projects. I mean, Anthony mentioned it as well. We've had now two summits, and we'll likely have more. We will have more. And then there are also, in about the same time frame, there are organizational reviews that are pretty major events. So maybe that's something, those two kinds of projects, those big, you know, outreach projects and inward-facing projects need to be somehow highlighted as well.
So I would think when we talk about the who we are, we can say that we do policy, we do outreach, we do engagement, we do capacity building. And then when we get into the what we do, I think that's a perfect avenue for us to say, when we're talking about doing policy advice development, here's like, you know, case studies or the policy advice topics that we've done in the past, or here's the active policy. We're, you know, hinting at diving them into actually doing research on those. And then you're right, when we start talking about outreach, we say, these are the things that we're doing in outreach. We do major summits and we do, you know, events.
Well, summits are engagement, more engagement and outreach,
okay.
So, but more engagement. Summits are more engagement, I would say.
All right, well, we'll get the right content in the right order.
Okay.
I apologize.
And And then finally, I know I keep going back to this, but that under ALSs, I would really like to see, and I got commitment from the IT, by the way, when I was having a meeting with them earlier this week on really improving the interactive global map of ALSs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if Jeff told you about that, Jeff, but Steve, but I'm happy to show that to you. I think you've already seen it, but I'm really keen on getting a much better map than we have currently.
Sure. So just while we're on the topic, so you and Jeff met to talk about improving the ALS's portion of your website as like he providing budget for it?
I just brought up, among many other, sort of a laundry list of requests, for the ALS's, there's a global map now that's was really great 5 years ago. It's just a Google map with little pins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would like something, I mean, I think it would be great to have something much more modern, much more up-to-date technically.
Absolutely.
And where you click on it, I mean, and again, I cite the example of the map that IT did for compliance, where you literally, you click on, let's say I'm going to go back to the ALS example, but you click on an ALS, you get their name, maybe you get a photo of them, current activities, just so, you know, for example, when Fadi or when someone else, either in the community or within senior staff, want to know, you know, hey, I'm going to be in this country, which ALSs are there? And that
Absolutely.
They can just click on it. Because right now it's really, you know, we need to send them literally cut and paste from our contact data database in it.
Sure. Yeah, so maybe we'll just take a note to circle back on this offline, because I'd be interested in knowing what came out of the conversation, if you're going to get extra budget to do something specific like that, because...
We didn't get into that kind of detail, but yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about that.
Fantastic. It's part of, I think, what our plans are anyways, but, you know, if we can get additional support in implementing, you know, the vision that we have here, the better, because there's more asks than we have funds to do, and we'll have to, like, prioritize, but if you can get them to commit even more, that's fantastic.
Okay. Tough this fiscal year, but we'll see. Okay, that's really it for me at this point.
Thank you.
And thanks, Heidi. And also just to add on one of the things you touched upon, for our work, you kind of break them into like four areas, policy, engagement, capacity building, and specific projects. So our current thinking is we demonstrate what we like our work based on three levels of the community, like the work ALAC does, the work five RALOS do, and the work like a working group do. So we kind of want to show that based on the I don't know how you call it, like the whole the groups that have responsibilities for work. So we're based on those groups. And this is an open question now. It's that we don't know whether show work on that way is better, or show the work based on the category of work is better. So I hope I convey myself clearly.
Yeah, so what Heidi had brought up was a really concise way of organizing it by the type of work we do. When we get into the details of that, we can talk about, you know, what, you know, who does policy advice development. We could talk about the groups within that. So maybe you hold off on talking about each of the groups and what they do until you get into the how you do it section or something. I'm not sure. Because the group is only as relevant as the context of the work they're doing. And if someone knows the kind of work that they're interested in, they want to go find that. They might not know what, you know, the regional ALSs are doing. I don't know. It's something we'll have to figure out.
Yeah, but I think what Heidi proposed is a pretty good idea. Next, Olivia, Dev, they all have their hands up. So Olivia first and Dev second.
Thanks very much, Ariel. It's Olivia speaking. Looking back now at the table of contents and the information architecture, since this is our starting point, I understand this is effectively giving us a hierarchy of the pages and how they're going to be fitting together. Is this correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So I have a question with regards to having under explore who we are on the one hand and what we do on the other, and effectively having ALAC relos and the different relos underneath under what we do. I thought that these would be more under who we are. What we do is more a case of the working groups and how we work and this sort of stuff. Could you please expand on this? Because I don't quite understand how the organizational structure works with what we do.
So this actually just ties into what we were just talking about with Heidi, is that there's two perspectives that we can take. If we think about one perspective about what we do being, you know, policy, outreach, engagement, capacity building, each of those functional activities that we're doing as a community are performed by different members of the community. So different groups are interested in, you know, different functional activities. So when we think about what we do is done by different subsets of the community. And there is some, like, natural relationship. I don't know if it necessarily belongs there or not. Maybe the groups that do that work is part of how we do it. I agree that also part of who we are is, you know, the groups that compose the community. But then people, if you start getting so far into the, we have an ALAC and we have different RALOs and we start, and we have different ALSs, if it doesn't naturally lead the conversation further for a newcomer, what it does is actually confuses. Now they have this giant structure and they're not really sure why it's even relevant. So we have to be really careful when we're talking about who we are, that it's always keeping in mind the why this is relevant to the reader. Why do they care what our structure is? They only care so far as knowing what those groups are doing. So I don't know what the exact answer is yet for the content breakdown, but I think we have the pieces of the story. We just have to organize them appropriately, and maybe we don't have it quite yet.
So if I can add then, so then the organizational structure, which isn't really organizational structure, because at that point, I mean, that would be reflected during the organizational diagram.
Mm-hmm.
But what you call what we do effectively is just going to focus on what is the ALAC doing at the moment, and then looking at the RALOs, what is AFRALO doing at the moment, what is APRALO doing at the moment. It's not going to go into the description of what is AFRALO or what is APRALO. Is that correct? That's just what they're currently doing. What's the ALAC doing? What are the RALOs doing? What are the APRALO structures doing? What are the working groups doing?
It could be that, or it could be, you know, what is the type of work the RALOs do? Right? Maybe we do or maybe we don't show what they're currently working on. I don't know.
I think a one-stop shop, seeing what all of these are currently working on would be quite fantastic.
Okay.
Because it changes a website from being a website which just reads like the book to a website which actually shows things happening. There's one thing which at the moment I keep on getting reminded about is the way that Apple does things with their iPhones and things and others do things. And Apple has the edge always of, I don't know, for some reason it just gets people to want to use their bloody devices more. And others are just sometimes frustrating and you just want to chuck the device out the window. Although yesterday most Apple buyers have chucked their device out the window for an unrelated problem, on the case here, I'm wondering how can we entice people to really be captivated by this and think slightly differently instead of just having something which says, you know, this is what the ALAC is, this is what the RALOs are, and so on. Have something which really shows that this community, irrespective of what the hell it is, and if you want to find out what it is, there is a way. You just, you know, you hover your cursor over the term or something, and that definition comes out or something like that.
Great
Not
idea.
A standard page. It's just
Great.
Something, you know, hover the thing over there and boom, you've got this thing coming out. And then you can read quickly about the ALAC. If you want to learn more, you click on the ALAC and then you'll get to a whole bloody page. But really, most people just want to find out really quickly what is the ALAC doing. They don't want to be taken at a tangent. They just want to find out, okay, what's going on now? What is the ALAC working on today? Because the majority of people that I speak to who don't know about at-large and about the ALAC, the first question is, what do you guys do? And it's not even a case of, like, what is the ALAC supposed to do? Because if you actually, then you can recite the bylaws, and that still doesn't help them.
Yeah,
it's a case of, like, today, what are you working on? What's the stuff that is really bugging you at the moment? Why do you have 6 hours of conference calls every day? This sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really enticing for people. And just a personal thought, but and maybe this is the way you envisioned it as well.
So let me try to summarize to make sure I understand. So I still think there's value in being able to communicate to a completely new comer,
yep,
what it is you intend to do. What is your mission? So ALAC has a purpose, a specific purpose. And being able to communicate that at a general, like a generic level, there is value in that. It puts people on the same page. But to your point, it's also extremely valuable to know what are they actually doing. And that maybe that is the natural place for it, is when we introduce ALAC and when we introduce their purpose, that we also happen to be dynamically, you know, showing the actual activities that they're working on, whether they're votes or whether they're, you know, providing, you know, state, like final statements, whatever the actual, you know, artifacts are that they're creating, you know, maybe that is the logical place for that data to show up.
And just to add to Steve's point, actually, can you guys click on Apparello, like the table of contents? There's you will see Apparello under Reload, under organizational structure. You click that, and then that will take you directly to the section that we're writing about, the vision of the Apparello page. So it's actually quite comprehensive, and we actually use the one-stop shop as the vision there. And everything you want to know about Apparello is housed there. And then we have all the generic information, you know, the background about Apparello team members. We also touched upon the interactive map that pinpoints the ALS is spread on the continent. And then we also have the ongoing work about Apparello. And if you scroll down that page, you will see, like, news and media, that's the major announcement made in the RALO and events and elections and all those things. So the way we think about, there's one way we think that maybe can intrigue people to understand what's new with the RALO is, so we have this kind of a metric board that shows numbers, just like the numbers. For example, in Apparello, how many ALSs exist? How many are pending applications, how many, you know, statements are being drafted by Apparello members. So we just have that number there, and then they will update themselves, just give people a quick understanding, like the RALO is a dynamic and working on something. And then when they click that number, they will see the detail about their work. So so that's why, like, under what we do right now, we have just the, you know, the RALO ALAC, because we kind of envision them as the one-stop shop, and then we don't want to break them into like a description about, you know, this RALO, and not have another section about what we do. We kind of want to integrate them together. So that's the vision we have right now. Yeah.
Maybe a final point on that is, when we think of ALAC or a specific RALO, or maybe even in the future, ALSs will want to show some certain level of activity of, you know, what they're doing on behalf of the community. We need to start, and I need help doing this, we need to identify what are the types of activities that they're performing. What is it about ALAC that we want to broadcast? Are they the votes? you know, are they specific publications or, you know, whatever those types of metrics are that we can call out, we should, you know, work together to start identifying and brainstorming what those are so that we can include them in our designs.
And next is sorry, Dev is also have a question, have a comment.
Thanks, Ariel. This is Dave. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, first of all, you know, a great amount of work has been done. I could see that basically, I can imagine both of you just basically took this and just poured all their heart out into the details of it. So I know that's often the hardest thing to do, so kudos. I guess my question is goes back to the map as to the when you go back to the top, and it's what Olivier pretty much touched on. And I think this is probably, it goes back to this thing with the organizational structure. I'm not sure whether organizational structure is really the terminology, is really should be described as what we do. It's really just how we organize. And to my mind, the organization diagram is simply just breaking down how at-large is organized.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what should happen is also is that right now it's presented as a top-down type of approach where it really should be flipped. It should be, you know, the at-large structures, the RALOs, the working group, and then the ALAC. Because we really want to emphasize the bottom-up policy, the way at-large work. We work from the bottom-up. And this is kind of presenting it as the ALAC is the be-all and all. And it's really not, it's not supposed to be the be-all and all. It's really supposed to be the working group feeding into the policy advice and so forth. That's one of the goals we want to do. So I would flip it so that it would be, we talk about at-large structures and the types of structures that could become at-large structures. Then they are organized by regions and the reloads. And then within the RALOs, they have global at-large working groups, and then there's the ALAC itself, and so forth, and describe it that way. And I think the title, Explore, I'm beginning to think more and more that I think it has to be renamed, because I have to admit Explore isn't really conveying it. Who we are is probably the more appropriate title. You know, and or its equivalent about us, whatever the wording is. That wording, who we are, should be instead of explore.
So just to your point on that, so explore the way we presented it includes not only who we are, but the work we're doing as well as like how we go about doing it. So we had to encapsulate it into some term because calling it out as who we are is only one piece of that. Whether Explore is right or wrong is, you know, a separate point. You know, we can play with that word, but who we are is only one element of a newcomer or an experienced member understanding some of the components that go into, you know, the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I get you. Maybe but I think probably Explore is just a little too vague. It doesn't convey what the section is trying to do. But I understand what you're saying. Going back to what other persons were saying, what I was describing regarding the RALO section, I think what will have to happen also is that this has to be mirrored onto the landing pages on the wiki for each of the RALOs.
Mm-hmm.
So what we designed here has to mimic exactly what happens for the various RALO pages. So, and then what can happen to make it more dynamic is that special landing page is only editable by the executive RALO leadership secretariat. And then those messages are pulled in and put onto this onto the at-large website, a message from the RALO chair or something like that. Those type of approaches. So again, you don't want to duplicate, create one section that's on this website, and then you have a reload landing page, which is, you know, a different seeing a different thing. You need to be consistent. So, and edit once is my, you know, those are my philosophy. So that's one thing. Regarding the cataloging the work that the various working groups are doing and what Relo working groups are doing, again, maybe the taxonomy aspect could be used here. And if those types of work activities can be tagged, you know, so that if there's a Relo working group working on RIRs, then it will be tagged appropriately over IP addresses. Then that working group will be tagged accordingly, and therefore a search would then bring that up. So if a person is from that region and is interested in those issues, they may want to look at that first as a way of discovering what their interests are. So that comes back to more the discover and the topics and, you know, how do you discover what you're interested in and where can I find people, like-minded persons in that region who are interested in that topic so I can have a conversation with them.
Okay.
That's it for now. I'll put my hand down. Thanks.
Thank you.
Olivia, next.
No, thanks, Ariel. It's going to be that's fine. No further questions.
And also, Heidi is in the queue.
Oh no! Sorry, I didn't put my hand down. I think we've reached the
maximum
content intake here.
Yeah. So that seems fair. Maybe I could do a couple summary points. All very good content today.
Olivia, raise your hand again.
We've got to say
yes, for a split second, things went blank and suddenly it came back. It's Olivier speaking. It was just to do with the when someone starts on the website, would it be an interesting thought to perhaps have a a box that comes out and basically says, who are you? Are you a beginner, or are you a seasoned ICANN person? Would that be a good first step in being able to channel people to one side or another?
Potentially, it's something we could bring up with the designers. In my opinion, to me, it distracts a user. They really just want to close something like that. But it's something we could even, do as an experiment. You know, when we get into our beta tests, we could implement something like that where it pops up and we can measure, like, who's closing it, who's actually clicking on it, who is irritated and leaves the site. So it's definitely something that we can explore.
And the reason behind it, it's Olivia speaking, the reason behind this thought is because we have discussions, everyone always in this type of policy development, everyone discusses what's the best way to get people to bring their input, etc. Apparently the European Commission, I think it is, on their intranet, when you register and things, asks you what kind of stakeholder you are. Are you a government employee? Are you a private sector organization? Are you a not-for-profit? And the content of the site is different depending on whether you're a the category of person that you are.
Absolutely.
So people don't get overwhelmed by information at that point that they might think, oh my goodness, there are too many choices in front of me. The people that are newcomers would just have simple interface of saying, well, that's the sort of stuff which you might be interested in, and all of the more advanced stuff is kept on a back burner. And for those people that are seasoned ICANNers, then you'd have the easy stuff would be on the back burner, and the stuff which you might be interested in is on the front burner.
Sure. So another way that we could even propose doing this is Stanford does this. You come to their site, it's already geared towards the student, the prospective student. However, you might not be the prospective student. You might be faculty and staff. You might be a parent. You might be alumni. Clicking these links will change the perspective of the site. It's not so cumbersome that it's like in their face and they must choose it, but it sort of becomes an element of the navigation where you can quickly change your perspective and remember the context of the user as they go through the site. So that's another, there's different ways that we could consider that.
Yeah, that's very cool.
It does add a lot of complexity in terms of the number of pages that we're building, the layouts.
I think that's going to be something in the future. I mean, that's wonderful, but maybe under your the next person, maybe under Alan, but I don't even know about Ben.
Yeah. It's definitely worth entertaining that idea and thinking about it over the next couple of months. I think it's something we could even propose to the community as a concept to think about. And as we go through the first, beta of the website, having them think in that context and think about the things that are good or bad about, the current version. And that way it gives us time to really build that properly. So if I can consolidate some of our thoughts.
So, Steve, just really one quick point here. When Olivier mentioned his last issue, just something that struck me. Is there a place there for individuals? Because I know that we have ALAC, we have RALOS, we have ALSs, but there's nothing for individuals. And
what individuals are doing?
No, because at large, you can be, an ALS or individuals. So, to have a page for individuals, maybe individual activities, if you're an unaffiliated member, et cetera. But just a page where, if you're an individual, you might want either a current one or prospective, where would you go?
To do what?
To do activities. I mean, we get questions from individuals about, okay, well, can I join at large? So somewhere there
gotcha.
Should be, okay, you can join, through an ALS, or you can join as an individual.
So, a couple of quick points then. When we talk about, the work that we're doing, when we talk about, for example, the policy advice development, did I get that right?
Correct.
We can talk about it from various perspectives, right? Like, there's somebody is a pen holder. Somebody is providing comments. Somebody is doing voting. So when we're talking about the things that we do, they're perfect opportunities to call out the types of individuals or groups that do that work. And those are avenues to call them to action, right? Like, you could have a list of, hey, here's the current open comments. Individuals can provide their insights to this, or you can provide your insights, or whatever it is. Separately from all of the other, areas that kind of touch on this individual, I would call out this make a difference is where we would want to be very specific about, depending on who you are and what you're interested in, there are all kinds of different opportunities. What Olivier kind of mentioned earlier about having different contexts or lenses to look through, this is potentially a perfect page for us to experiment with something like that, where they could make a difference as an individual, or they could make a difference as a group of people, or they could join a group of people. So that's the page where I would think we would consolidate a lot of that type of content, but it would also be hinted at throughout the rest of the site.
Yes, definitely. I think, for example, if we talk about the Narrow under what we do, we will definitely touch upon the structure of Narrow, like the ALSs and the unaffiliated members. So when we talk about that section, maybe we'll have a call to action box on the side saying, oh, if you want to join Narrow, there's several ways for you to do, including if you're just drawing as an unaffiliated member. So we will touch upon the individual area when we discuss, the RALO activities too.
What about something like join us, exclamation points, call to action.
that will definitely be possible. We just need to figure out the wording. And we also want to work with the designer because they may have more creative ideas than us.
You're saying join us for Make a Difference?
Or, yeah, Make a Difference. Well,
because it's more than joining.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we can play with the ideas. Yeah. What I wanted to do is get us comfortable at least with the structure. And I think Ariel and I need to do a little homework and clean up on some of the sub-elements of Explore. But as we do this, we can tinker with the way the pages look, the names on the pages, the language. All of that can easily be tweaked, but we need to at least have enough of a shared vision for the structure so that, you know, we can produce something, some hypothesis to present and to discuss with the community.
And Olivia has his hands raised.
Sorry, old hand.
Okay, thanks, Olivia. Steve, do you want to do a wrap-up, or we have about 10 minutes?
Yeah, so just to kind of conclude, I'd really encourage everybody, this is a work in progress. Everyone that has the URL can come to the page. I've put it in, at this state, I've put it in a suggestion mode, so you could write all over this page, and we won't lose any of our information. It's totally fine. Or you could add comments, but I'd really encourage everyone to kind of skim through all the way through before they, you know, start providing commentary, and just think about it for a few days and see if it resonates or if there's things about it that really irk you. We've taken notes today, and we'll, you know, go back through some of those exploratory topics and clean it up. So outside of that, I would really think about each of the elements and think about the features that we're, you know, proposing. Think about the story that those features tell and the capabilities it provides us. And see if we're missing something, or see if, you know, we're not effectively communicating something that's valuable. But I'd really encourage us to kind of all put our heads together on that, because over the next week, you know, I'm going to really rely heavily on the designers to take what we have and to start, you know, concepting around those things, because we don't have that much time left. But it's not that we can't, you know, continue to do work with them over the coming weeks and, you know, finalize some of these products.
Yes, echo with Steve. So please take a detailed look about what we have been written under each section. And so the basic structure we did is for each section we wrote the intent, which is the kind of overview what the section is serving for, and then what our goals are for these sections to achieve. And then the major features for consideration is the second part of each section. It's kind of the how we think this page will look like in our mind, and what are the elements and how those elements work in a way. So these are our ideas, and we definitely want feedback from all of you and see whether these are you know, feasible, or whether we need to include other content there as well. So so please definitely take a look at the document detailedly. And I will follow up with each of you to gather feedback. So, Steve, do you want to talk about the schedule for next week? Maybe like the next call we have with the vendor, or do you want to share any information now? Or
I think we need a little more time. So I'll be out of the office tomorrow and on Monday. So my next kind of touch point with them will be on next Tuesday, and I'm hoping that they've made some concrete, you know, next steps on some of these concepts, at least some of the easier concepts, so that we can all start actually looking at all the stuff that we're at least talking about. So I'll have to kind of touch base with them and get next steps with them, but maybe early next week we can just prep the group with some like more concrete expectations.
Any more questions?
Ariel, one of you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Ariel. It's Olivia speaking. Now, Steve, should we wait for you to update that document that's online then before we give it another read and another brush through? I note, for example, that at the beginning of the call, Heidi had mentioned that our cause was not the right term for it.
Right.
That hasn't been updated. So should we, I know you've made notes and so on. Should we wait until you've made notes and then you can give us a green light to have a new look at it and go through it?
That seems reasonable. Ariel, what's your schedule look like for today and tomorrow?
I have availability for the rest of the day. Tomorrow we have two calls for LDA, and I think staff for one call. So tomorrow's not a very busy day, but I only see my calendar.
Sure.
I don't know.
So
yeah.
Let's do this. Ariel and I will get together. We'll try to do our best to do as much cleanup as we can over the next day or so, and then we'll send out a communication to all the stakeholders and just let them know when it's in a state, you know, good enough. There may be some stuff in there that's still not quite right, and that's okay. But we'll do the best we can with the time we have this week.
Okay.
So expect an email maybe either sometime later this evening or later on Friday.
Okay. Now, I know Gisela, it's Olivia speaking, I know Gisela has put a note in there that I'm going to be traveling next week. I've just sent out a note to try and obtain a mobile phone over in the place where I'm going to be, or at least a local SIM card, and we might be able to do a call at the end of next week. But you just mentioned that you're going to be out of the office for a few days as well, so maybe a call next week would be premature.
It would be nice for us to at least schedule, maybe a Friday call. And maybe it's a short call, but just to introduce to you guys, hopefully by then we've made some strides on some of the designs. There's a couple things that we need to start thinking about in addition to those designs. And I want to bring in the designers to start talking through stylistically some of the elements that we want to put in place. So there's a need for us to continue to have the weekly calls.
Okay, so it's Olivia speaking. What I'll do is to send Gisela my schedule or what I know of my schedule at the moment where I'll be, and hopefully that we'll be able to find some slots for us to speak.
Okay. Yeah, and then I'll also coordinate with our vendors because I'd like to bring them in for some of those style guides and to introduce some of the wireframing. So I'll at least let them know it's something that we need to do next week, and then it may be early next week that we coordinate everything.
Okay.
And this is Sarah speaking. In the meantime, please feel free to use the commenting function on this Google Doc and just put your thoughts in those the detailed writing of each section. I will work together with Steve, clean up this document, and in the meantime, we'll refer to your comments too. So please feel free to start now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you, Steve and Ariel. Excellent job. Thanks. And thanks, everybody, for being on the call for so long. I know it's a big chunk out of your day, but it's really
as usual.
Valuable. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.